This is the Overdue Homework Podcast.
Welcome to the show. That's Trav. I'm Drew.
And I'm Trav.
And this is the Overdue Homework Podcast. And of course, we are here to give you our opinions on 80s and 90s media. Don't forget to contact us at podcast@overduehomework.com. Trav, how you doing?
Really good, Drew.
Good.
Another day off, as always.
Yeah.
I'm always having them good days, but how about yourself?
Really good. I managed to fit a non-homework movie in today, which I was pleasantly surprised in. Rebel Moon. On Netflix.
I just saw it on Netflix. Well, I didn't see it, but I saw that it is on Netflix.
It is. It came out within the last 12 months. But the reason it's on is because the sequel comes out in April.
Ooh.
I wanted to watch it when it came out originally. It's got that Charlie Puth in it. Charlie Puth. Like the guy from, what was the biker show?
Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy. Isn't that his name, Charlie Puth?
I don't know. I didn't see Sons of Anarchy.
Maybe it's not Charlie Puth, but he's in that movie, but he doesn't have as much of a role, but he's the face that you see on the Netflix tile when you select it.
Sure.
I wanted to watch it when it came out because I'm like, sweet, sci-fi, gritty, I'm into it. Let's go for it. Never got around to it. Today was the perfect opportunity to watch it. So I did watch it, and I really recommend it.
Nice.
Combination, like, Star Wars-esque universe, but alien type feel.
Sure.
So not necessarily the subject matter of Alien, but it reminded me a lot of the movie Alien and Alien. So well worth your time. It was really cool. The main antagonist in it is the villain from the first Deadpool, the other guy that also has the... I was like, who is this guy? Who is this guy? I know this guy. And then after the movie was over, I was just kind of getting ready for the rest of the day. I'm like, Deadpool. There it is. He's from Deadpool.
Man, I can't wait for Deadpool 3.
Yeah, it's going to be really great. It's going to be the most meta-esque, meta-y-est Deadpool ever.
For what it's worth, it's like the highest watched Marvel trailer of all time.
Definitely.
Already. Pretty crazy.
It's like the only Marvel movie as of late that actually has the same hype as the Marvel movies did as of 5 years ago.
Right, exactly.
Which is unfortunate. I'm so behind on the Marvel Universe, and I was so into it for so long.
I know. There's only a couple I haven't seen, but now I'm seeing they're canceling like a fourth one of this and a third one of that.
Yeah.
It's like, that sucks.
The last Marvel I saw was the most recent Guardians of the Galaxy.
I haven't seen that
yet. Really good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I've heard it's awesome.
It's really good. I didn't see the Moon Knight.
I love that show.
Did you see it? Okay, I didn't watch the TV show.
I'm caught
at all.
Up on all the shows except Loki season 2.
We haven't watched that either. And Loki season 1 was so good.
Yeah.
So it should go back to that for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. But why don't we get onto the podcast?
Let's get on.
I used a couple of articles today in the production of this podcast. One was from vocal.media. Okay, that was vocal.media. The full link will be in the show notes along with the next one as well, but that was by Tisha Eaton. And then an article from BuzzFeed.com, and that was from Brian Galindo. Sorry, Brian. And of course, our homework review today is a Goofy movie from 1995. And did you watch Goof Troop on Disney Channel at all growing up?
I did not.
Me neither.
Not a Disney kid.
Me neither.
Neither of us were.
Neither. Because you had to pay for it when we were kids. It wasn't just on there. So it was like you get that summer preview and you maybe catch a couple episodes of something. But no, I was never a Goof Troop guy either.
Nope.
Never a Goof Troop guy either. A Goofy movie was directed by Kevin Lima. Screenplay by Jim Magan, Chris Matheson, and Brian Pimtall. Story by Jim Megan, based on Goof Troop by Robert Taylor, Michael Peretta Jr. Goofy, of course, was created by Art Babbitt and is voiced by Frank Webb in this movie. Produced by Dan Reynolds, starring Jason Marsden as Maximilian Max Goof. Aaron Lohr provides Max's singing voice in the movie. Bill Farmer as Goofy, Rob Paulsen as PJ, Jim Cummings as Pete, Kelly Martin as Roxanne, Pauly Shore uncredited as Robert Bobby Zimmerowski. Pauly Shore isn't credited in the movie at his request.
Weird.
He's like, I don't want to do it.
That's so weird.
It is very
weird.
He's
like the most memorable voice of it from our childhood.
Yes, definitely. Wallace Shawn as Principal Mazur. Frank Welker as Bigfoot. Jenna Von Oy as Stacy. Tevin Campbell, uncredited as Powerline. It was released April 7th, 1995. It had a budget of $18 million and a box office of $37.6 million. That's $75 million in 2024. That's not very much money.
Nope.
For a Disney animated feature film, that's not very much money.
It is not.
Not very much money at all. So, Trav, are we ready to get on over to the movie?
Let's do it.
Let's break it down. Let's break it down. I can't wait. So, of course, you got to love the fancy in the opening of the movie. It's like the fancy Walt Disney Presents. And then it's just all crashed down by a Goofy movie. And then that famous Goofy Hayuk. The field of wheat, as the movie opens up, goes on to the horizon, and all we hear is,
Max.
And then we see Max running through the endless field of wheat. He finally makes it to Roxanne. She's on a pedestal. And to quote 40-year-old Virgin, he put that pussy on a pedestal. They end up falling into each other's arms for a roll in the hay. Yeah, get it? Okay, okay. Just before they kiss, the dream turns into a nightmare. Max transforms into his worst imaginable monster. His father, complete with the yuck. Obviously, Roxanne is repulsed, and Max wakes from his nightmare, revealed that he hasn't quite turned into his father yet, at least.
Obviously, she's repulsed.
Yes, obviously.
poor Goofy.
Poor Goofy.
That's what his son thinks of him.
And then the phone rings because it's a 90s movie, and that's what is a catalyst for almost everything in a 90s movie is a phone ringing.
Obviously.
It's PJ, and Max is late for school. I mean, it's 7:50. He hits the alarm clock because it said it was like 4:05 in the morning.
Yeah.
It's not going to be complete daylight out at 4:05 in the morning.
No, it is not.
But that's okay. Hits the alarm clock. It's 7:05. It's or 7:50. It's he's got 10 minutes to get to school. So it's the perfect time for a musical number.
And he just has this running issue with his alarm clock and just deals with it. So yes. At any given day, it can be 3 hours behind and it needs a good smack.
But we haven't quite gotten to that musical number yet because Goofy enters the scene and he says, "Morning, son." And he's just there for clothing. I do love the towel in his hair and covering up his nips.
Definitely.
It's very funny.
For what purpose? I don't know, but
very,
it's funny.
Very, very funny. For decency. He doesn't want to show off his nipples to his son. And Goofy's just doing what Goofy does and he's just wrecking up the joint. Sayonara, Powerline, life-size cutout. Poor guy. I'd be really mad about that if I was Max, how he sucks it up into the vacuum.
Oh, I'd be pissed.
Like, that thing was probably like $35 at the record store.
Or there was only one of those.
Yeah,
and
only
he
one
got it.
And he got it. Come on. Yeah, he knew a guy at the record store and got it from a former promotion. Sayonara, Powerline, life-size cutout. So basically that scene just basically introduces that Max and his father aren't on the same page in their relationship, like at one bit. And it also introduces that the Goofs love to mambo.
Yeah, they do.
So finally, it's time for that musical number and a kiss from Goofy. This is it. It's the last day of school, and Max is ready to reinvent himself and talk to Roxanne. I do love the song, "Things Are Gonna Be Going My Way After Today." It's very theatrical. Doesn't it feel like it should be on like a Broadway stage or something like that?
Definitely. I'm sure there was a version.
I'm sure there was a version. The goth chicks, A+. When they're on the bus, they don't want to have to go to any more, pep rallies.
Yep.
Bus driver, also A+. Very funny. He's like, "I'm going to sit on my butt. What else am I going to do?" Love that bit. And then the nerdy guys, A+ as well from me. So now it's just a few minutes before the bell, and Max has made it to school. He wishes it was the day after today at this point and promptly falls down some bleachers. Roxanne comes to his aid, though. Ooh. And he yucks at her.
What a spaz.
Max and PJ meet up. PJ has his dad's camera, even though you can see that there is a camera in Max's bedroom on his windowsill at the beginning of the movie, so I don't know why he needed to. That's all right. PJ has his dad's camera, and Bobby has the rest of the AV equipment.
Slurpage. Dude me fundage, bro.
The fundage is cheese spray, because yes, obviously. Cheese spray.
Cheddar. Oh. Pretty scrumptious.
Are you a fan of cheese spray?
I am.
Yeah. I am too.
I mean, you obviously did this as a child.
Yes, and you always regretted it, right?
Obviously. I mean, I would at least have the common decency to put it on a cracker.
Yes.
But I would make the Leaning Tower
Oh, yes.
Obviously. And I wouldn't just shove it in my mouth without even opening my mouth wide enough to get the cheese in there like he does. But
I love how he chokes on it, and he's like, it's pretty scrumptious.
Pretty
man.
Scrumptious.
Bobby nearly steals the movie.
He does.
It's a little off topic, but he's in it for 10 to 20%.
Yeah.
I said 70% initially here in my notes, but he's gone for 90% of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And just wasn't enough Bobby.
No. I think he would have stole the movie, so maybe that's why he is only in this little bit.
It's true. He does make his reappearance at the very end and falls in love with Stacy. But he should have been in the movie a lot more. It's Pauly Shore's best performance on film. You can't get me to change my mind. And he's in it for hardly any of it. I love Bobby in this movie. Absolutely love him. He needed his own movie.
Oh, he did.
Why not make that now? What's Pauly Shore doing?
For real.
Not much.
I'm sure he'd be down now. He's like, yeah, credit me for that.
Definitely. With the cheese exchange done, it's time for the trio to do this. Let's do this, bros. In the auditorium, and Stacy is the student body president. She does say, I'm the president, whatever. She's kind of like recapping the year, and the Star Trek nerds are hollering at her, which is out of character for those dudes, right? And it's a different voice than what it is in the opening song that they do. Funnily enough, that's the only time Star Trek is ever referenced in the Disney universe.
That's crazy.
That's it. And it's in a Goofy movie. So if you're a Trekkie, there you go.
There you go.
Stacy invites the entire class to her home for a Powerline concert on pay-per-view. So like all 250 of them?
Yeah, you know.
Yikes.
I'm sure the parents are fine with that.
So what do you think a pay-per-view like that cost in the mid-90s? Like $50?
$50.
Maybe $100?
Yeah, maybe $70. If I'm thinking of wrestling, you know, it was like 50 minimum up to maybe 100.
I sort of recall my parents looking into doing a pay-per-view for a Michael, like the Black or White tour, like the Dangerous tour, doing that pay-per-view and it being like, them being like, it's way too expensive.
Yeah.
And it's 1995, so $49 might have been way too expensive.
Right, true.
With that out of the way, it is now time for Principal Mazur to make his appearance on stage, and he makes that appearance to complete silence, which is always a good laugh from me. We see in the audience that the handsome dude is moving in on Roxanne. It's kind of unneeded relationship turmoil, if you ask me. No need for a love triangle.
No, not at all.
He never makes another appearance. And so, originally, Chad, is that character's name, was supposed to have a bigger part in this movie.
Okay.
They were supposed to be him and Max fighting for Roxanne's affection throughout the movie, which I don't think would have really worked out, because then you would have had to have worked in a third family also going on.
Yeah.
Or have all these different scenes back in their home city of Chad getting all up on Roxanne.
Right, like she finds another date for the party and it's him. Nah, I don't need that.
Unneeded.
Glad they cut it.
I mean, how old are these kids? 13, 14,
for
15?
Real, max.
Yeah, they're not driving.
No.
So, I mean, that huge stunt that he does to go back here for a second seems like something that you would do on your last day of senior year.
Yeah.
Not like your last day of seventh grade.
Right. Yeah, first day of freshman year.
Yeah. But whatever. That's the way it works. So backstage, and Bobby is working his magic.
How you doing down there, Bobby? Don't give me that attitude, you guys. I'm doing it all for you.
That's the best. All as he's using a blowtorch on like tape. Is it like film tape that he's doing, or is it an extension cord? I've always been unclear on what that actually
I'm
is.
I'm not sure.
I mean, he does like zap it with the blowtorch, and then like the TV turns on, so maybe it's like an extension cord. But still, whatever.
Regardless, it makes zero sense.
PJ then falls through the curtain behind Principal Mazur, and nobody notices. Nobody notices. It's time for the show to begin, though, finally. Max has Powerline. So every high schooler at some point has had some sort of fantasy like this, right? And they all end with somebody, like the whole school, standing up and clapping for you and cheering for you. I mean, it is pretty sweet what he ends up actually doing. Max is super suave. He can do the moonwalk. So can, like, everybody else in this movie.
Everyone.
Everybody can
Father
do the moonwalk.
Included.
Everybody can do the moonwalk. He's flying all over the place in the auditorium. I do love the song. It's got that really great, like, 90s pop R&B sound that I am very fond of. Definitely enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a Prince and Michael Jackson, Will Smith trio combination.
Yeah.
When I did end up looking up some information on this movie, it did say that Powerline was... it did say that Powerline was based on Michael Jackson, Prince, and Bobby Brown.
Nice.
And Bobby Brown makes more sense than Will Smith because of the singing and the dancing. But it's a good combination of them. You going to sing this with me? Stand out above the crowd, even if I got to shout out loud, till mine is the only face you'll see. Gonna stand out till you notice me. I love that song.
The answer to Drew's question is no, I'm going to dance while you sing. So if anyone is wondering what just happened.
Damn, I love that song. So number one, how did it go so long?
Yeah.
I mean, the timing of the ending is perfect with the tape fading out and Roxanne and Max are about to touch hands.
Right, right.
But that would have been shut down in the first 3 seconds of him coming out on the stage.
Yeah.
First 3 seconds. And secondly, how did no one know that it was Max until the very end?
Seriously, come on. Makes no sense.
Hey, it's the Goof Boy.
Busted.
So next it's over to Goofy, and he's a photographer in a department store, and Pete is presumably his boss?
Yeah, I guess. Or his coworker.
One of the two. It's not really explicitly stated. I'd say because of Pete's apparent financial status, maybe he's the boss.
Right.
But that also makes me think, like, the 90s were wild because Goofy is potentially a photographer at a large department store, owns his own home, has a car, is a single father. Like, that's wild.
That is wild.
That is wild.
No way he's getting the salary for that.
Maybe in 1995, but certainly not today. The 90s. And he has disposable income to go on a multiple weeks long vacation.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And can, well, they both do.
They both do.
They both go.
They both
and
do.
And can you imagine having that many customers nowadays, just one after another, bringing them babies or...
I couldn't imagine.
Little children for pictures at the department store.
You go into department stores like that, and they're literal ghost towns nowadays.
Ghost towns.
Ghost towns. Maybe on, like, a busy Saturday afternoon, you might see, like, a fairly busy store, but it's just nothing like it used to be when I was a kid.
There's barely a photo department.
No, I don't think there is a photo department in a single department store in our town anymore.
Seriously.
Good old Mankato. Anyways, Pete tries to give Goofy some parenting advice after Goofy becomes jealous of the vacation that Pete and PJ are going to take this summer. Max would never go for something like that.
There's something wrong with a kid when you won't spend time with his parents.
Wrong. There's something right with a kid when he doesn't want to spend time with his parents. Yeah. That's like the weirdest statement of the whole movie.
That's
it's just
the
completely
most normal
wrong.
Thing ever.
The most, especially for a 13-year-old to want to be like, finally I'm old enough to stay out till 10 o'clock by myself. I want to be nowhere near you, parent.
Obviously, obviously. He could be in a gang, stealing stuff and causing riots.
Yep, that's what he is. No, Max is a good kid. He'd never get into something like that. Cue jail cell crashing sound effect. Max is in some deep shit at this point, and he has a date with the Mazer.
And the Leaning Tower of Jesus.
So almost all of his Pauly Shore's dialogue was improvised in this movie. It makes sense. So,
obviously.
I mean, it works well. So that's interesting, though, because don't they normally animate and then you do the voice over the animation?
Right.
So if he's improvising, then he must have cut his lines and then they animated to his voice.
That is weird.
That is weird. Or maybe like they did like a round table thing where they're like, you can improvise this stuff. We'll do it in the script. We'll animate it. And then you have to recreate it.
Yeah.
That makes the most sense. PJ is fearing his father. Obviously, he's going to smash me like a bug, which he never does. We never hear again about this from Pete at all. But Bobby gets called in and he hands off his stash of cheese.
Guard this with your life, dude.
It's got to be a Breakfast Club reference, right? When Bender gets pulled from the library and he gives Anthony Michael Hall. What was his character's name?
Oh, my God. Why don't I know this
right now? What was his character's name?
Two on the spot.
Two on the spot.
It's the nerd, obviously.
Yep, the nerd.
Ugh.
Well, it's not Brian. Mike. Brian. Thank you. When Brian, he gives Brian his pot and says, guard this with your life. It's got to be a Breakfast Club reference.
Definitely.
It's got to be. It's like 11 years later. Perfect. That leaves one distressed Max waiting for his sentencing. Enter Roxanne. She liked his dance, right?
Yeah.
And is into Max. Finally, Max, he gets up the guts to ask Roxanne to the Powerline party. And Roxanne would love to, because it's a movie, and she would love to.
She said yes, everybody mambo.
Ah, the goofs love a mambo, don't they?
Dance with her, groove with her.
And then the dreaded phone call to your father. Mazer has some things to say about Max, and they are all bad. He's in trouble, dressed like a gang member, caused a riot. Seriously, reevaluate the way Max is being raised before he ends up in the electric chair.
That's about the most unrealistic call from a principal I could ever imagine.
I feel like maybe you could have gotten a call like that from a principal in the 70s, 80s, maybe even into the 90s, but I know if somebody from my daughter's school called me and was talking to me like that, I'd be like, slow your roll.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this for a second.
There's no way my dad would have let someone say, reevaluate the way you were raising him. There's just no way.
That's the big one right there.
That's like, a Disney movie. Did they just need to go to the far extreme?
They must have. Did you notice all the various paddles that were on the walls of his office?
Yeah.
With spikes and shit? Yeah. Like, Jesus. Come on, man. So what is Goofy gonna do? Lake Destiny, Idaho. And after some bobblehead inspiration, turns out Pete is right. Nothing like the great outdoors to strengthen the bond with me and my son. Yeah, okay. It was weird that when he noticed the bobbleheads that it was a completely dark area of the building. Wasn't it? Like the lights were all off?
Yeah.
And then he goes over and talks to Pete and the lights are all back on. I don't know. It was kind of weird. It highlights like the specialness of the bobbleheads and the blue light special, but
yeah,
it's just kind of weird.
Very
to me.
Weird. Seems like it's closed and then it's not.
Because he does go talk to Pete over at the photo booth, and that little girl, she runs away without a diaper. School's out, and Max is the bee's knees. Cool concert, lad, because that's something someone said one time.
Yeah, definitely.
The weirdest thing ever. You wailed, bud. The hot chicks, but Stacy butts in. He's Roxanne's, after all. And PJ crushes Max by jumping on his shoulders. And then the whole school, Max, he is the hero. So, musical number.
Yeah.
Stand out. Again, stand out. Lots of fun. The very Ferris Bueller-esque romp through the neighborhood to get back to his home. So, that makes sense. Another reference to a very beloved 80s movie, I believe. So, we get back home, and Goofy is packing for that trip with his best buddy.
Donald Duck?
No, you silly. Cue Max fainting. Max and Goofy are going to spend some real quality time together.
I think I'm gonna be sick.
You look just like I did when I was your age.
Please don't say that.
They are going to Lake Destiny to fish, and Max is less than enthused for sure. As a matter of fact, they're going to use the same map that Goof and his dad used.
But this trip is going to take weeks.
Exactly. So, according to the roadmap, they are from Columbus, Ohio, if you've ever wondered where Goofy lives.
Yeah.
The original concept for the road trip was to have Goofy and Max stop off at a Goofy family reunion along the way. I would have liked to have seen that. That would have
been fun.
That would have been pretty cool. But obviously, they were looking to make this movie as short as possible.
Yeah, clearly.
So Max, he tries to explain to Goofy that there's a party that he really wants to go to. But there's going to be plenty of parties. Well, when I was your age, I never even got invited to any parties. And look at me now.
Great, Dad.
Yeah, great, Dad. So let's go, Maxie. They're leaving right now. Like, school just got out, and they're leaving. And Goofy concocted this trip at work today. So, not much for planning is Goofy. No, he's not. So, hop in. Let's go.
No.
Goofy tries to pull the old guilt trip on Max, and he says he's going to have to go on the trip all alone and by himself and sit in the boat all alone.
I guess so.
So, Goofy, very savage. But what else are you going to say to your dad when you're 13 years old? So Goofy forces Max into the car against his will after he inflates his life vest, so that thing's completely shot at this point. Yeah. All set, let's go.
Why are you doing this to me, Dad?
Because I don't want you to end up in the electric chair.
What? Electric chair? But, Dad.
No buts about it. Not exactly a good start to the trip, I'd say.
No.
Forcing your child to go with you minutes after school ended. I would not have been happy.
There is a bad vibe in the car.
Bad vibe in the car. So goodbye, house. Goodbye, pile of broken wood. One of the funniest parts of the whole movie.
Oh,
he
yeah.
runs over his own fence and says goodbye to it. That's very, very funny. Max is a bit less optimistic about the trip.
Goodbye, hopes. Goodbye, dreams.
Next up, Roxanne. He's got to cancel his first date in less than an hour.
Ouch.
That's got to be some kind of record, right? Roxanne's dad is intimidating.
Yeah, he is.
Growl provided by the director, Kevin Lima, in case you were wondering.
Nice.
But she knows how to handle her dad, sends him back inside. Go on, Dad. Max is a friend from school. Max is excited for the party. Oh, excuse me. Roxanne is excited for the party, but Max has to back out. Faced with the proposal of losing Roxanne to some other teens, Max lies because that always works out in life.
Obviously. Obviously, he lays a good one on her. My dad is taking me to the Powerline concert.
All the way across the country?
Yeah. My dad and Powerline are old friends. They used to be in a band together.
The shit just keeps getting deeper. As Max leaves, Roxanne says she can't wait to see him on TV. And Max is in deep sludge, to use his own words.
Oh, yeah.
Let that road trip begin. I love the animation on the highway, like all those extra frames that you get from a motion picture animated. It almost has like a CG look to it, doesn't
it? It does. Yeah.
I looked it up and there's no CG in this movie. It's traditional animation.
Nice.
It's just super smooth and it looks really good. They took some time on those scenes, especially when they're on the road.
I agree.
So things are already feeling pretty desperate in that car, and the road trip has just begun, so it's time for some road games already. 20 questions? Man or woman?
Man.
Walt Disney. I'm good at this game.
Seriously. Just another way to bring up Walt Disney.
Another way. I mean, there's all types of those little peaky references to Disney films. I'd have to go back and look now to see if Ferris Bueller and Breakfast Club, who makes those? I think they're Miramax films. I wonder if that's a subsidiary of
Disney. You know
what's
weird is I think it's possible that Breakfast Club was on Disney Plus when we had it.
So that would make sense then. It's either they're either Touchstone, which I know for a fact is a Disney subsidiary,
okay,
or it's Miramax Films. Let me see here. Come on, where are you?
Breakfast
it's an MCA, which is weird. Universal, even weirder. MCA Universal. Interesting. Clunking VHS tapes in the background. Pardon me. I completely lost where
Walt
I was.
Walt Disney,
huh, yuck. And then they couldn't be further apart on the choice of music, so the radio breaks because two buttons were pushed down at the same time. Way too much, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Bad start to a week-long road trip. No radio. Gonna need that in the 90s because you ain't got no smartphone, that's for sure.
Who needs a radio? Come on.
They can entertain themselves, so it's a Disney movie. That means a musical number, of course.
Obviously.
Do you need a break from modern living? It's a great number. Love all the secondary characters on the road. The nuns, we see them again. We saw them in the department store already in the movie.
Yep.
Dude playing the piano and the Nashville Singers. Tow truck guy, I'm going to tow you even though we're driving down the highway.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. The state prisoner looking pretty depressed.
Love the prisoner.
The mismatched couple, we were supposed to see more of them throughout the movie in the original script idea. We do see her at the end of the movie. She's the one that's singing in the Powerline concert.
Yeah, he looks like a straight up Porky Pig ripoff.
He really does, doesn't he? He really does. Mickey and Donald on the side of the road, which I love. When you're a kid, you're like, oh my gosh, it's Mickey and Donald. That's so funny. It's not about them, but they're in the movie.
But they're in it.
I think that would have been worthy of Goofy saying, hey, there's my friends, Mickey and Donald.
Yeah, seriously.
No, didn't see it. The dead guy, and then the soon to be dead guy with the cement shoes in the trunk.
Yep.
The dead guy. Ooh, that was creepy.
Yep.
And then it ends with, I ain't got no strings on me. I'm feeling fancy free. How wonderful to be on the old open road. That wasn't the right tune, I don't think, but close enough. Definitely a Pinocchio reference with Ain't Got No Strings on Me, so they are enjoying the referential treatments in this movie. Goof and Max are officially on the road, having left the city and heading out into the plains of the Midwest. And then we cut and we're in the mountains. So
yeah.
I guess we really are flyover country.
We are.
Nothing worth talking about in the Midwest whatsoever. Just get straight over to the Rocky Mountains where it's interesting, I guess.
Yep.
Goofy is way more interested in the map than looking at the road, and Max has to save them from oncoming traffic for the second time already.
Yeah.
Second time.
Dad, you're going to get us killed. Why don't you just give me the map?
Navigating is a big responsibility. Plus, you wouldn't want to ruin the big surprise.
Foreshadowing.
First stop is someplace pretty special to Goofy.
Yep.
Lester's Possum Park. Sounds great.
Yeah.
That little girl does not want to go to Lester's Possum Park when they pull up. That doesn't bode well for what's going on inside, I guess.
No, it does not.
Have you ever ventured yourself into a tourist trap, Trav, in your travels across your lifetime?
No, I have not.
No, you have not. We haven't really. There's a couple, not really tourist traps, but I've stopped at a couple of things like near, I wish I could, outside of Fergus Falls in Minnesota, right off of I-94. Is it Fergus Falls? I'm drawing a blank now on if it is. But there's this giant prairie chicken that you can go see. It's prairie chicken. So we used to stop at that on the way to Fargo. We got to go see the prairie chicken. Anytime you'd bring somebody up to Fargo with you that had never made the trip, well, we got to stop at the prairie chicken.
You have to.
Just this giant prairie chicken statue. I mean, to its credit, it's pretty damn big. I bet you it's like 20 feet tall, maybe 20 feet wide. Like, it's pretty big, you know? And then there's another one that I remember. We used to have to travel in the summer for these conferences that my mom would go to for teaching in the summertime, teaching conferences. And so when we would go, the whole family would go because the school would pay for the hotel room. So the whole family would go. One of them was up near Bemidji, and it was like kind of like this golf weekend out also for them. But my dad, Tom, took me and my sister to this like weird like crazy farm thing. We were the only people there, and there was all these weird like steam powered engines, and the dude like made molasses and like harvested bees. It was very, very weird. There was like a model of like a post office from like the 1850s. It was just this very weird experience, and I distinctly remember my father, even though I was maybe 10, 11, 12 years old, being like, we gotta get out of here, this guy's weird. He didn't say that out loud, but his body language, yeah, and the way he was acting was like, okay, let's get out of here.
We're the only ones here, it's time to go.
Those are the two big ones that I remember from my life, that's for sure. The Possum Park seems like a real swell place. Max wants to wait in the car, and I don't blame him, Trav. I don't blame him.
Yeah.
Inside is a wonderful little barn area with some broke-ass animatronics, because who doesn't want that?
For real.
That's the Possum Posse Jamboree. Don't say that too many times, otherwise you're going to say it wrong. Who's your favorite possum?
It's Lester, of course.
Are you ready for the yodeling? Max thinks it's pathetic. He definitely thinks it's pathetic.
Obviously, he's past it.
Goofy is very into it.
Very into it.
The little girl that we saw from before looking at Max going, yodel, yodel, yodel. I get a really good kick out of that. She's a very funny little girl. After the show, and it's after the show now, and Goof is going to get Max a possum hat.
My life is a living
hell. Hello, little buddy. Who's your favorite possum?
Don't touch me. Beat it, doofus.
I love how angry he gets at that mascot and literally punches it.
Yeah.
Punches it or smacks it across the way. Goofy arrives with the hat, and it's an upside down dead possum. Why? Why upside down?
To prove it's dead.
To prove it's dead.
As if that has significance. I don't know why. But.
Sure. Goofy wants a picture with the real live possums hanging from the tree, so naturally he hangs from the tree with them. Say sassafras. Sassy fries. Very funny. Everything comes crashing down. And before that, Goofy gets called a big dork.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone, check out the dork. Everything comes crashing down. The possum goes flying, hits him in the face, and goes flying underneath his shirt. And Goofy only has one thing to say. That's the spirit, Maxie. Oh, poor Max. He doesn't want anything to do with this. Did you love the dude blowing on? It was a fiddle and the washboard, right? Playing the music for Max. That's really, really great. They dance, and Max gets called a giant dork, gets called Dork Jr.
Dork Jr.
And is the laughingstock of all the very interesting patrons at the Possum Park. And of course, this is the last straw for Max, and now he hates his father, because there's nothing worse than being called a dork in 1995.
Obviously.
It's about as bad as it got in
1995. There's no coming back from that.
And then you'd always get that one person at school be like, you know, a dork is a whale's penis. Right?
You've never heard that?
That's what a dork is. It's a whale's penis.
A dork is a whale's penis. That is hilarious.
Max storms off to the car while the emotional rain falls. Stormy weather, stormy relationship.
What a heavy scene. We got a trouble teen.
Yeah, he is a trouble team. Teen. Max hates everything about this trip.
This is the stupidest vacation. You drove me a million miles away to see some stupid rat show. Call me when the trip is over.
Yikes. Ouch. This hits Goofy pretty hard, and they drive away from the possum park in silence. You want to cut open a vein? Let's cut open a vein, Trav. Do you have any experiences of disappointing your father? That you want to talk about on the podcast?
I mean, I remember the first time I got a C. My dad is pretty pissed about it. So we'll say disappointed. But he was very angry about it. Just because I was smarter than that. It was clearly laziness and not like I'm dumb. Yeah. So that's why he was rightfully upset with that.
Smarter than that. That's something that hits home, Trav. I heard that many a time growing up.
Seriously. But yeah, never... Honestly, you know, I told Lauren this the other day. I was a really good kid. I don't know how that got brought up, but I said there's no way 100 out of 100 times you could ask my dad, he wouldn't say I was a really good kid.
So, that's awesome. So that's awesome.
I don't think I disappointed him very much.
So. That's good. That's really, really good. So there's one time when I was thinking about this that really came to mind for me. I was at a hockey tournament in some city somewhere in Minnesota. Where it was doesn't really matter because all the hotels look the same after the fourth hockey tournament of the season.
Yeah.
So we were running around the hotel. I was probably like 12, 13 years old, just being a complete buffoon as a 13-year-old, probably. Luckily, most of the hotel was probably filled with other hockey players from all around the state, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But we were running all around the hotel, and we found some ladies.
Ooh.
Yeah, we found some ladies. So we were talking to these ladies and stuff, and all of a sudden, my dad, who was also a coach on the team growing up, came out of nowhere just to check on us, and see what was going on and stuff.
And we were naked.
Yeah. No, not naked. He's just like, oh, hey, how's it going? You know, it's going to be bedtime for you guys here pretty soon. And I look at him. And I say to him, why don't you go have another beer?
Oh, God.
Because, you know, the parents are drinking. That's what you do at hockey tournaments when your kids are there in the hotel. Because, you know, everybody's not watching any of their children, so it doesn't matter.
Now, did you say this because of the pure frustration of him coming, like, go have another beer because he was already drunk? Or was this legitimately just like... go have fun. Go have another beer.
So the way I remember it was I was trying to look cool by not being like angry, but like saying something kind of like,
I'm sticking up.
Yeah.
Go have another beer.
Go have
Dad.
Another beer. I'll be back when I'm ready. So
I'm 13. Yeah.
I don't think it was like angrily, but it was like, it wasn't in the good. It was, you don't say that to your dad.
No, definitely not.
Definitely got pulled aside as soon as I said that. Like, it wasn't like a grab and pull aside, but he was like, okay, you need to come with me right now.
Yeah.
We had a little talk about it, and he did let me continue to hang out with the chicks.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that was pretty awesome. So. Score one for you, Tom.
Score one for Tom.
See, he had some situational awareness, you know?
Yeah, like, for sure.
I was trying to look cool in front of some chicks and some other dudes on my hockey team, so situational awareness. It's not like I told him to fuck off.
Yeah, that's true.
And he probably thought, like, well, I'm going to go have another beer.
Yeah. Drink another beer.
Yeah, I should have said it like that. Well, anyways, it's time for the Goofs to set up camp in the tiniest tent ever.
Obviously.
The tiniest tent ever. But a quick fishing lesson?
Maybe later.
Yeah, things aren't going very well for the Goofs. And it's, you know, Max is sitting on that shoreline. He's looking at the water. He sees that picture of that mirage of Roxanne in the water. And Goofy just comes tramping up and stamps all over her face.
Yeah.
Really hitting home the fact that... Max's dad, Goofy, is ruining his life.
Yeah.
Ruining. I can't even have a fantasy about this girl.
Bastard.
I like. Come on.
Go drink another beer.
Go drink another beer, Goofy. Oh, boy. Good thing Pete and PJ have been following them. So I've
you know, their exact path.
Their exact path. What an RV, though, right? They got the pool. They got the bowling alley, massive stereo and TV, the pool table. Now that's camping.
Now that's camping. And just, you know, to get back to this department store, that means this department store has three employees in the photo department. Three. That's how popular and in demand photos are. At least three.
Yeah, because they're both
because
on
they're
vacation.
They're both gone.
They don't just close down the photo booth or
nope,
the photo department.
Not with that many customers, they don't. That's just weird to me.
You know what it is? School's out for the summer. So they got the high school kid working it. So it's they're going to come back and the camera's going to be broken. There's going to be tons of pissed off customers.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to turn out really bad. It's going to turn out really bad. So PJ, he is inside the RV and it's revealed to Max after they have a short conversation that the whole school knows about his power line lie at this point.
Which is how?
Yeah. I mean, word travels fast, but still that fast. It's been a few days. That's pretty impressive. In the summertime when kids aren't seeing each other.
I mean, how does anybody have the knowledge to debunk this?
Truth.
I mean, even if Roxanne said anything,
right.
How does anyone know whether or not Goofy was in a band with?
It's true.
But, you know, whatever.
It's true. The only person that actually doesn't know about what Max said is Goofy at this point.
Yep.
Pete still thinks Goof is being a bad dad. Pete does suck in this movie. Pete does suck. Pete sucks. He's not a great person in this movie. I'm not a fan at all.
No, he's not. You got to keep them under your thumb, Goof.
Yeah. That just like PJ, that's a really great thing to do to your child. Just oppress them into submission.
Obviously. That's how you get respect.
Poor kid calling him up there to kick down that pin. If I was Goofy, I would have said, that's still not a strike, you asshole.
Seriously.
Anyways, Goofy asserts his dominance and forces Mac to go fishing, even though Max wanted to stay with Pete and PJ and have dinner with them. I'm sure the food probably would have been delicious.
No,
snow crab legs and steak and all types of delicious stuff. So it's time for Max to learn the perfect cast. It's a great bit, and I love the throwback to the how-to cartoons that Goofy used to be in. Like he did how to play baseball, how to swim, how to fish, how to take care of your yard, how to play golf. The how to play golf one is the one that I think most people think of when they think of the how-to Goofy ones. Because I can see him in that outfit with the yellow knicker pants and the green shirt, I believe, and the hat with the tassel on top and stuff like that. I do enjoy the throwback. Again, Disney being referential to itself, which is always appreciated. People like our parents in the 90s when we were watching this movie potentially would have been like, oh, yeah, I remember that from my childhood.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, that makes sense. It is a great bit. It's some classic comedy.
But, Dad, I don't even know how to fish.
Well, that's never stopped me. You got to be loose. And then 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, whatever it is, you know.
Right.
And then the big windup, he lets it fly, and Goof ends up snagging a steak off of Pete's grill.
Yeah.
What a throw. What a throw. And then he snags himself a Bigfoot.
Yep.
Which, okay, sure. I love that I love that he snags that Bigfoot. It is very, very funny. And spoiler alert, the Bigfoot section of the movie is kind of my favorite part of the movie. I don't know why. I just love that part of the movie so much. But it chases. Pete sees the Bigfoot and obviously chases him off with PJ in the RV. Everything gets closed up super quick and they're out of there.
Out of there.
Sends him packing. Is it the best part of the movie? Do you think it's? I think it's top three choices for best part of the movie with Bigfoot here.
Definitely. I mean, if there was more Bobby in the beginning, that would be the best because I love Pauly Shore. But this is probably the best part of the movie, for sure.
It's super memorable for me. This is the section of the movie that I seem to remember the most for some reason. But that in the beginning part with Bobby, like you said.
It's the turnaround, you know, the turnaround of the relationship, pretty much.
It really is.
And you get to see him. I think it's funny that he uses the car lighter to heat up the soup.
Yes.
He says, so there is a use for one of these.
Yes,
I
it's
think
a
that's
pretty
a funny way to not throw smoking for no reason in a movie and instead kind of make fun of it.
Yeah, it's a pointed response to the dangers of smoking. Like it's a good thing for them to put that into a kid's movie for sure. It is interesting how they're so pumped at the beginning once they even get trapped in that car and they got to roll up that sunroof. I don't think I've ever been in a car with a sunroof with a crank. Have you ever been in a car with a sunroof with a crank?
No.
I don't think I've ever seen that in my life. And I've been in some old cars, you know? Like, I don't know. That
doesn't seem very realistic.
Does not seem very... I mean, maybe it is. Kind of looks like he's in an AMC Pacer, you know? That's what it kind of looks like. So I'll have to Google and see if Pacers had a roll-up sunroof like that. Anyways. I love how they have the footage. They're so pumped. They're going to be famous. They're going to be rich. And then the first thing that Bigfoot does is destroy the tape. I feel like if you want wound that tape back up. It is just magnetic tape. It's not film.
Right.
So it should be able to maybe be somewhat salvageable. Salvageable.
That's
salvageable. So I don't know. Could have been somewhat salvageable. I love the bit with the underwear, how he looks through the little pee hole there. That's very funny. The socks, which he's doing a little puppet show for them in the
car.
Very, very funny. He is very self-aware for a Bigfoot, right?
Oh,
he grabs the keys like, I know what these are. Phew, see you later. He knows what the car keys are. He can speak mock English.
Yeah.
He mocks them with the puppets because it seems like he's making fun of them talking to each other in the car.
Yeah, it seems like that he's playing them.
Yes, that's what it definitely is. Plus, Bigfoot loves the Bee Gees.
Oh, yeah. Who
doesn't? Loves them. Who doesn't love the... Honestly, who doesn't love the Bee Gees? And the suit bit is the best. It's the most heartfelt part of the whole movie.
Just turn the damn can, Goofy.
Like, for real, just turn the damn can. Hi, Dad Soup, super heartwarming. And there's a good Terminator reference in it, too.
Hasta la vista.
Yeah, and then he's also, what does the other one say? What is the other one? The other word he says that's also... It's a longer word, and he's like, hey, I don't think so.
Oh, ambidextrous.
Ambidextrous. Yes, that was pretty good. And then, like, we already talked about the anti-smoking jab, which is really great. So they end up going to sleep because they have no place else to go after Bigfoot climbed on top of their AMC Pacer and went to sleep himself.
Yeah.
Max spells out, hi, Dad, for Goofy. And all is well with the goofs.
All is well.
Again.
That's all it took.
All is well. Unfortunately for Max, there is going to be no sleep this evening between Goofy snoring and Bigfoot snoring. Just not going to happen.
No.
That was, again, hockey tournaments because I spent a lot of time in hotels. Tom is a snorer. Man, Tom. Oh, man. Many times I had to get out of bed and walk over there and be like, stop it. Stop it.
I can sleep through anything, and I apparently snore less now, but I know as a kid I was snoring a lot.
Were you really?
Yeah.
A snorer as a kid?
For sure.
That's interesting. I snore more now than I ever have.
I'm a mouth breather.
Oh, yeah. Breathing that, that'll get you snoring, that's for sure. So this is the perfect time, up in the middle of the night, for Max to write Roxanne a postcard confessing his sins, basically.
I mean, that's what I would be doing.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Nope.
But nope, let's double down and change the route on the map without telling your father, Goofy.
That is a pretty funny moment, just
it
how
is.
Intense it is.
It
how
is.
How loud the pencil breaking is.
How many cups of sugar does it take to get to the moon?
3.5?
Sure. Love it. The next day, and the goofs are at a truck stop. No Bigfoot to be seen.
Nope.
Seems like there should have been a split second explaining how Bigfoot left them.
No. Nope.
Just a split second.
No, no, no. The more you think about it, no. Nope.
Like, just the next morning, Bigfoot falls off, and somehow Goofy hotwired the car overnight.
Something. Give
something,
me something.
Something, something, something.
He whipped the empty can out there.
There you go. There you
it
go.
It distracted him.
So in the diner, Goofy bestows the responsibility of navigator onto Max, and the place goes wild. It's such a big deal.
That would never happen now. I don't know if it would happen in 1995 either on the way from Ohio to L.A., but this would not happen nowadays.
I don't think I'd trust my 13-year-old telling me where to go on the highway
via
map.
Well, plus you just don't have anyone's attention. No. Everyone would be on their phones or something.
True.
So you'd get
true.
Like three people to look up and they'd tell you shut up, or they'd be recording it to put on social media and call you cringy.
Ultimately, it's a really good thing for Max because now he has control over the map, because Goofy would have realized the route was changed immediately.
Yeah, there's that foreshadowing from earlier.
I do have to say, when that scene opens and you see like the reflection of the diner in that bell, you know, the ring for the order up, I love that shot for some reason. It's a really cool, like, I don't want to say unique, but like inventive way to open up that scene for a kid's movie. You don't have to do that much for a movie made for 12-year-olds, but you do it anyways, and I appreciate that.
And oddly, it makes me miss old school diners. Like,
definitely.
That. Definitely not around this area.
No, not around this area. And when you do find one, you got to stop.
You got to stop.
Even if the food sucks after you go there, you still got to stop.
Excuse me, Flo?
You know, Max's guilt is kind of palpable in the scene as well. He's looking like really sad during the breakfast brunchy thing. But Goofy mistakes his guilt for being unhappy in the road trip and hence bestowing upon the navigation duties. I wholeheartedly trust you, son. To the open road.
To the open road. Yeah,
so on the open road.
And also, what kind of breakfast is that? Two eggs and one piece of bacon?
That's not a breakfast
at
all.
That is not a breakfast. No. That is a jip.
Yes, it is. And it's probably, well, I was going to say it was probably like $12.99, but that's today's prices. Yeah. Back then, it was probably like 79 cents.
Probably.
Like, not even kidding.
Yeah, seriously.
Not even kidding.
As Goofy just plows through the pancakes.
Yeah, you could go to a breakfast place and feed a family of four in 1995 for probably under $15.
Yeah, that's
probably
crazy. Seriously. Well, especially if you're getting two eggs and one piece of bacon.
That's very true. On the open road, I'll say it again, and a good old-fashioned road trip montage. Gotta love that.
I love it.
I love a montage. Love a road trip montage. Yep. Love a fight montage. Love a martial arts montage.
I'm just thinking of the Bloodsport montage in the bus.
Give me a motherfucking montage.
Give me a motherfucking montage.
That's all I want. That's all I want. I do love the device of them actually in their car driving on the map as the map is kind of folded up, showing them going from location to location.
Yeah.
Once again, above and beyond with some cool animation that makes the scene very interesting and adds to the montage instead of just smash cut, smash cut.
Seriously.
And the stops they make are great. It's just great stuff. The jet skis that also work on land.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Okay.
The flat tire that's interspersed throughout the montage. It's like a montage within a montage.
Yep, yep.
They work together and get it figured out. The roller coasters, Goofy barfing, monster trucks. Goofy hates it. Earl's House of Yarn. It's the world's biggest. Goofy loves it because Max felt bad about the monster trucks. Goofy was hating it. And then the mime. The 90s hated mimes.
Yeah, they did.
They hated mimes. And then, of course, that's not the right word there. And, of course, Carl's butt caverns. Why does it say butt?
I don't know.
Like, honestly, I remember being a kid and pausing the VHS tape because I thought it said butt and being like, yeah, that does say butt.
Butt caverns.
And even if it was bat, there's two T's.
Yeah.
I don't grasp. Is that some sort of joke that the background animator was trying to do?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It was weird. And
see if
like,
the kids noticed this.
And we did. We did. They go to a baseball game, and then finally the goofs stop at the Neptune Inn. At the Neptune. Gosh! they are just simply amazed by that room. Have you ever stayed at a themed hotel?
Yes.
Really?
I mean, sort of.
Okay.
The Dells for our anniversary a few years ago. That's like a adult hotel-esque thing where they're not supposed to bring kids and the rooms were themed.
Okay.
So we had this like safari theme room.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Was that the Fantasy Suites potentially? So they're in Burnsville. There used to be a place called the Fantasy Suites. I'm going to put the link to the website in the... So this obviously not the same hotel that you stayed at, but I thought maybe it was a chain because this Fantasy Suites chain of hotels, like thought maybe that. But anyways,
maybe.
It's now closed, no longer in Burnsville, and there are all types like space room, like safari room, all types of different rooms. A friend of mine would stay at that fantasy hotel in Burnsville when we were kids with his family. Okay, interesting. It's just kind of weird because it was always marketed as like sexy fun for adults. So it's like weird. The rates must have been cheap or something like that.
Right.
But he would like tell us about, we stayed in the space room or the safari room.
Right.
And then years later, like he brought it up again and he was like, yeah, it's kind of weird to think about going there as a fan.
Definitely.
A little bit weird. That's for sure. The hotel seems a bit gaudy to me, but, they love it, and Max really loves that mermaid light, and that's supposed to be Ariel, correct? Yes, obviously. The fish in the bed, gotta love that. The coral. The dresser's made of coral. I don't know why that's a positive, but sure it is. And guess who's there? It's Pete and PJ again. Great.
Obviously.
They're just following it.
They ditched first, somehow they're there.
Okay. They're there. Pete fakes being the police and breaks into the room. Goof and Max are having a great time, and they are the best of friends. Pete reminds Goofy.
Under your thumb, Goof.
And then Pete hooks up the RV.
It's just a tiny extension cord.
But not really. It's tons of hoses.
Yeah.
Reminds me of Cousin Eddie from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Shitter's full.
Goof, why don't you order some pizzas? This is going to take a while.
Finally, the pizzas arrive. It didn't take for us any time whatsoever.
No, not whatsoever.
And Goofy goes to the hot tub. Pete overhears PJ and Max talking about the map. Since Pete is such a good guy, he's going to tell Goofy. Not that he's going to relish in the fact that Max is deceiving Goofy one bit.
Yeah, no.
In the hot tub, and Pete spills the beans.
They always put way too much water in these things. Taking a break from the MTV generation, huh? I don't blame you. I just hate to be the bearer of bad news, but Max changed the map. You're headed straight to L.A.
What?
Check the map, Goof.
Goof takes offense to Pete saying Max is duping him. But he checks the map anyways, so I guess he doesn't trust Max as much as wholeheartedly.
Nope.
So he checks the map, and it's not looking good.
It's not looking good.
Disappointed Goofy again, and he goes to bed without saying a word. That's, if you're a kid and your dad doesn't say, hey, see you later, good night, love you, kiddo, and just goes and lays in bed with his back to you, yikes, you better be thinking, he found the map.
He found the map, and he saw the pizza everywhere in the room.
Everywhere.
Every time I watched that, I had to keep checking, like, are part of these corals on the wall in the theme room? Some are, but there's pizza everywhere.
They were throwing pizzas.
I don't understand it. There's no way they didn't consume almost all of that pizza.
Right.
But yet it looks like they didn't have any of it. They just threw it everywhere. It's over the dressers, the bed, the floor. There's no way. There's no way PJ alone didn't demolish that pizza.
Maybe this is a hot take, but maybe it just shows that between the lying and the destroying the room for no good reason, Max kind of sucks.
Yeah. He's the villain. All along, he's been the villain.
All along. So the next day in the car, and it's that pivotal moment. Junction ahead. Left or right?
Left!
Now we have a pissed off Goofy.
How about a song, Dad?
Silence.
How about a game?
Silence. Goof skids to the side of the road and gets out in a huff while being caught up in the seatbelt because he is Goofy.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah.
A good bit of levity to what should be a fairly intense sequence here coming up.
Right. About my directions, Dad.
Why bother? I'm probably too stupid to understand anyways. And there goes the car.
Yikes.
It's Max's fault. He sat on the bumper and made it roll away. I mean, ultimately, it's Goofy's fault for not setting the parking brake. But if Max never sat on it.
Yeah.
I love this action in the movie. This movie's been lacking a bit of action.
Right.
You know, it's been a little bit since our montage of going across the country in the jet skis. Otherwise, it's been kind of bland. A little action. I'll take it.
New take on a car chase.
They're literally chasing their car. That's a good point. I like that a lot. It's comical. It's exciting. The parking brake braking is very funny because that's not what it does.
You should have put the parking brake on.
Why don't you put it on yourself? And then snap. That's funny. A brake breaking is funny too.
Yeah.
That's just very funny.
And then
to me.
Driving that guardrail is hilarious.
Hilarious. They have no fear whatsoever at any point. All the stuff crashing off the top of the car onto the road. Foreshadowing. You need to notice that for what happens in a little while, even though it doesn't really make that much sense. Anyways.
Yeah.
The Goofs and the car splash into the river below, and they air their grievances with each other.
I never wanted to go on this trip.
I just wanted to take my son fishing.
I have my own life now, Dad.
I know, and I want to be part of it. There it is.
Tears.
There it is. Right there.
There it is.
Goofy's having a hard time with Max being an adultish dog boy.
Definitely. He's 13-ish, you know, but dog years, I don't know what's going
dog
on.
Dog years, that makes him like 82.
He's like way too old for high school.
Oh, boy. And he just wants to be part of it. So, and Max is always going to be Goofy's son. So what are you going to do? Come on, Max.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? I do have to bring up one thing, and I didn't put it in my notes, but I want to bring it up right now. The amount of time that Max and Goofy spend barefoot disturbs me.
Yeah.
I don't like their weird barefoot feet. It's weird to me. I don't like it.
Yeah.
The first time I saw Max without shoes in the opening sequence where he's getting out of bed, I'm like, yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, that's weird.
And then they keep being barefoot over and over and over. Goofy and Max should never be barefoot. I don't like the way their feet look.
Why are you going to wear other clothes if you're going to go barefoot.
It's
in
true.
In all seriousness.
It's true.
Like, you're either all in or you're not.
It's true.
I mean, we got Goofy putting towels around the nips, but they don't wear any shoes.
They don't wear any shoes.
Okay.
And then secondly, one other note. How does that car float? That's not what cars do in
water. You know
what?
I would like to know that as well. But yeah, she sinks down, way down.
Way down.
And then she just floats right on up.
Bloop.
Yep. I mean, apparently that life vest that Max had earlier is in the trunk and floating the car. To the top.
When Goofy bought that 1979 AMC Pacer, he sprung for the flotation package. Just in case you ever end up in a river with your son in 20 years.
Yep. Just make sure you got that flotation package and, you know, a fishing rod.
And a fishing rod, yep. It is unfortunately time for the worst song of the movie. I think the Nobody Else But You, right?
Yeah.
Well, is that the tune? Oh, I'll get it here in a second. It's just our luck. We're stuck together. Nobody. That's not quite it. What is it? How is it?
I can't
nobody
think of it.
Nobody. Oh, I lost it. I was practicing that one so much, too.
Nobody else but you.
That's a Toy Story.
Yeah, it is.
Totally Toy Story. No, oh, I want to get it. Hold on. I'm going to try to get it. Just give me a second. I got to take off my headphones.
So he's getting in the zone right now.
Because I was singing this to my son because it was funny. Oh, I'm just giving it up. I'm going to get it as soon as the podcast is over. I'm going to record it and I'm going to put it in the show or
yeah.
I'll cut all of this out.
Or I'll cut all of this out. You're welcome, Patreon.
So we see some chipmunks getting splashed by water at one point. Why aren't they Chip and Dale?
No good reason.
Like, just put a red nose on one, and I will take the, like, character shape, like, discrepancy and just go with it.
For real.
Just throw a red nose on Dale, please.
Come on.
It's Dale that has the red nose, right?
I think so.
Yeah, Chip's the leader. Dale's the crazy one.
The crazy one.
So Goofy and Max, they finally hash it out. Max comes clean and doesn't really apologize. He just is like, this is what happened.
Yeah, this is what happened.
I'm going to say, sorry, your car's ruined. And it's been decided they're going to L.A. and they're going to get on stage with Powerline. One problem, 1,000-foot waterfall.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, that's a pretty gigantic problem.
Yes. That waterfall was so incredibly high.
Yeah, it was.
Like,
where the hell are they?
Where are they? So incredibly high. The water looks weird to me, though, in this sequence. Did it look weird to you?
Yeah.
It almost looked like the animation was unfinished.
Definitely. And it's weird that it's green.
It's just weird looking.
Yeah.
It's very weird looking to me. And bam, Goof and Max are... Well, we're not at and bam yet.
Not yet.
They do end up going over the waterfall, and Max saves Goofy with the perfect cast.
And he has something tied into his clothes that works as a parachute. And as he's halfway down the waterfall, that parachute catches and raises him back to the top of the waterfall.
Yep.
Because that's how that works.
While he's also reeling up his 180-pound father.
Yeah.
I mean, he's skinny, so 180.
Then he does the, you know, blah, blah, you know, short and stout, whatever, tosses it and nails him.
Somebody must have been into Goofy's feet, because when he's hanging there, Goofy's feet are, like, both in the frame.
Yeah.
Just hanging there barefoot.
Here you go, Drew. For you, Drew.
Somebody was into Goofy's feet, that's
Someone
for sure.
Someone was into Goofy's feet.
Gross. So they're going to go to the concert now. We don't get to see how they land. We don't get to see how they get there. All of a sudden, they are at the concert, and they are already hiding in instrument cases.
Yep.
Seems like a single scene of them floating to the ground near a truck stop, running into Powerline's bus at the truck stop, sneaking onto the bus and getting in the equipment would have done me good.
It would have done me a little good.
You
don't go right from reeling in your dad on the top of a waterfall to...
At the concert. Anyways, at the concert. It is a wonderful way to end the movie. Goofy seeing the nearly nude woman, which is very funny. Oh, hello. Max getting chased all over the place, like through the rafters and all types of stuff. Goofy getting electrocuted. great. It's very funny.
Yeah.
Dig it. Very, very funny. And, of course, the perfect cast dance.
Obviously.
Which is going to be a nationwide sensation after Powerline does it.
Yeah, Powerline immediately knows how to do it.
Yeah, I mean, he's that good. It's Powerline.
Obviously.
Plus, Max lived up to the lie that he told, so good for Max.
Yep.
No repercussions for Max.
Nope, not any.
Roxanne is in love. What is with Stacy in like the Native American garb at her little viewing party?
You know, I don't know.
So at the beginning of the movie, before they go and talk to Max, she's kind of explaining how the AC went out at her home, so she wants to do the party in a rainforest theme.
Yeah, yeah.
I do see plants like stacked up all over the television when they do flash to that, but I don't understand the feather with the headband.
No
Is that
idea.
Not traditionally a Native American type of thing?
Right.
Does that happen in the rainforest? Do they wear feather headband stuff in the rainforest?
You know, if it does, I've never seen it.
I don't. That's not a picture in my brain.
No, definitely not.
So, okay. So if we listen to each other's hearts, we'll never, ever, if we listen to each other's hearts, we'll find we're never too far apart. Eye to eye. I love the eye to eye with the
eye
to eye. Very fitting. So the concert's over. It's a big hit. They don't get kicked off stage, arrested, anything.
Nope.
He gave him the perfect cast dance.
He did.
The perfect cast dance.
The perfect cast.
I try to hide my Minnesota accent, but man, it really came out. It really came out there. So we're back home. Once again, give me 2 seconds of them. Okay, whatever. That was quick. And the car still runs, miraculously.
Yeah.
They recovered that car from the bottom of the waterfall.
Yeah.
They did that. They did that.
Why are you acting surprised?
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. Turns out, Max doesn't even know Powerline. He comes clean to Roxanne, finally. So I give him a little bit of credit there.
A little bit of credit.
She gives him a second chance, only because he came through and followed through with his lie and managed to get on stage with Powerline.
Yeah.
And he gives her a kiss and a yuck.
Yuck.
Yuck. And the car explodes, sending Goofy flying and then crashing into Roxanne's porch. And then the one last Goofy scream, which there's one at the beginning of the movie, one at the end of the movie. And then Goofy says, "Ashante, mademoiselle." Roll credits. Can you do the Goofy scream? Like that he does that. Oh, no, it's really bad. I can't do it.
I can't.
The Goofy scream. Maybe I'll put it in there. Disney won't get too pissed if I put it in there, right?
No.
I'll put it in at the end. Roll credits.
Roll credits.
So, Trav. Obviously, you like this movie.
Obviously, I like this movie.
Obviously, I like this movie. But tell me about it, man. Tell me about it.
You know, I didn't watch it very much as a kid at all because I wasn't a Disney kid. Like I said, I only remember Bobby from the movie.
For real.
Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Memorable. 90s but icon.
Definitely a really fun movie. Hits hard.
It does.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I grew up with my dad. So it's kind of like that. I mean, I had a stepmom who I didn't like at all, but still is pretty relatable, other than I never hated my dad in any way, shape, or form. But I was also, I don't know, he trusted me because I was a good kid,
yeah.
I guess. So I didn't have to turn away from him in any way, shape,
That's
or form.
That's great,
so.
Man.
But
I hope your dad hears that, because I'm sure you tell him anyways, but I hope he hears that.
I don't know that he'll listen to Goofy Movie anytime soon, but he's definitely interested in the podcast, so
maybe
one day.
You'll have to tell him you need to listen to Goofy Movie.
You gotta listen to it. I talk you up like crazy. But yeah, it was a really fun movie. But what'd you think of it?
It's a movie that I was on VHS for me growing up, and it just kind of... When Disney movies came out, my parents kind of just bought them. So I've got a bunch of Disney VHS tapes put away because those giant clamshell boxes are hideous.
Yeah.
They sound terrible. They don't stack well. They don't stand by themselves. So I'm like, you're going in a box and in the closet. Sorry.
For sure.
But it's a memorable movie for me because I remember popping this VHS in as a similar aged child to Max in 1995. I would have been 11. Max is 12, 13, 14. They say high school, so I'm going to assume he's at least 13 for 7th grade.
Right.
But it was, I could identify with Max and the feelings of not wanting to, like, be with your parents necessarily all the time. The feelings of those budding high school romances and stuff like that.
Right.
And, the road trip aspect of traveling with my family and going to places that I'm not familiar with type of thing, like our road trip to Colorado. Like, it seemed like that for the 2000, right. The 2000 Lagoo family reunion. Saw people there I've never seen before and will never see again.
Yeah.
When it's your mother's, when it's your grandmother's maiden name side, it's like, oh, okay. So well, sure, I'm never going to see you. People.
Never going to see you again.
I really like this movie, and I got Evie to watch it.
Nice.
It was like against her will, kind of, where it was like, you know what? I'm the father in this relationship. This is what's going to be on the TV. If you don't want to
keep her under your thumb, Drew.
If you don't want to watch it, you can find something else to do. Right?
Right. Right.
So she sat and watched 90% of it, and then she went and did something else. I'm like, you're going to leave right before the Powerline
before
concert?
Before Powerline?
Come on. What Come are you on. Doing? What are you doing? But it's a movie that I can't wait to show Cam. I can't wait to get Evie to want to watch a little bit more. To her credit, being 7 years old, I think this movie aims a little bit higher than seven.
Yeah.
So to her credit, I get why she's not necessarily into it. But it's a great movie. Underrated. Definitely achieved a lot of success on VHS that it didn't see in the movie theater.
Yeah.
And I think it holds a special place in a lot of people's hearts that are in that 30 to 40 age range.
For sure. And spoiler alert, did you watch this more than any other homework assignment?
Pretty dang close. I would say it's very, very possible that this was the most that I watched out of any of them. Because like I said, I could throw this one on. I can't throw Bloodsport on in the living room when the kids are getting ready for dinner. I can throw a Goofy movie on Definitely. And watch it and watch it and watch it. But I love that movie, Trav. I'm really glad we got to do it. Thank you, Sandy Cheeks, for the recommendation. It was an amazing, amazing recommendation, request, whatever you want to call it. So keep them coming, Sandy
Keep them
Cheeks.
Coming.
Keep them coming, Sandy Cheeks. Well, Trav, with that out of the way, should we get over to the homework assignment?
We should, because I'm pretty excited for
pretty
it.
Pumped.
Pretty
it's,
pumped.
Again, it's a 1995 back-to-back double feature of extravagance. Mortal Kombat!
Mortal Kombat!
You had the CD, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I had
Obviously.
The CD. Everybody had the CD. Directed by Paul W.S. Anderson. Get some more initials in your name, Paul.
Yeah.
Written by Kevin Drowney, based on Mortal Kombat. Should we make it a rule anytime we say Mortal? We have to do it.
I mean, probably.
Okay. Well, it's a rule now. Based on Mortal Kombat by Ed Boon and John Tobias. I don't know why I gave such a gritty inflection. John Tobias.
As if he's like a character in the movie.
Produced by Lawrence Kasdanoff, starring Christopher Lambert as Lord Raiden, Robin Sho as Liu Kang, Lyndon Ashby as Johnny Cage, should have been JCVD.
Should have been JCVD.
Kerry Hayaruki Tagawa as Shang Tsung. Shang Tsung, is that how you...
Sung.
Shang
Tsung. Shang Tsung.
There you go. Oh, Brigitte Wilson. I forgot that. That's not Brigitte Wilson.
No, it's Bridget.
It's Bridget Wilson.
Yeah, we're talking Billy Madison.
Yes, I was like, Brigitte.
Veronica Vaughn.
I thought Brigitte Wilson, like as in from Rocky IV. Brigitte.
No.
Nope.
Bridget Wilson.
Bridget Wilson as Sonya Blade. Talis Soto as Kitana. Trevor Goddard as Kano. Chris Casamassiah as Scorpion. Francois Petit. Francois Petit as Sub-Zero, Keith Cook as Reptile, Goro is physically portrayed by Tom Woodruff Jr., and voiced by Kevin Michael Richardson, both of whom are uncredited. Is Tom Woodruff Jr. not the Predator? Was that not the dude that played the Predator in the...
I am not sure.
Are we taking a second to double check?
I think we're going to take a double check.
Okay, we're taking a second to double check.
We're checking.
With his robot arms.
Jax.
Cinematography, for those who care, is John R. Leonetti. Edited by Martin Hunter. Music by George S. Clinton. I wish it was by George Clinton.
Yeah.
Get some parliament in there.
Yeah.
But it's George S. Clinton. Production companies Threshold Entertainment and New Line Cinema, distributed by New Line Cinema, released on August 18th, 1995. It had a budget of $20 million, a box office of $122.2 million.
Yeah, baby.
And that is in 1995, son. A Goofy Movie's got nothing on that.
Yeah, seriously.
And of course, in 2024, that is $246.1 million. I went to see this in the theater with my father.
Nice.
I distinctly remember seeing this one in the theater with my father. And then I think we went to the record store and got the soundtrack after it. I think that I'm going to have to check with Tom on that one.
Nice.
So with that out of the way, Trav, unless you want to speak on Mortal Kombat for a second.
Well, I was just going to say I watched it right when it came out on video because my uncle's like, we got to watch this. And I was in one of them not going somewhere to a family reunion, but one of them situations where we were at some family member's house who was related to my grandparents in some way that I have never seen since then, but I went there to watch Mortal Kombat for the first time.
Nice.
Weird.
Like, on the road, Mortal Kombat in an unfamiliar place. And that's
It was in New Ulm, but I have no idea who that family member was, and I've never been to that house since.
Weird.
So I was six in 1995.
Weird. I wonder if they died. That's depressing. Sorry I brought that up.
I mean,
up.
They probably are dead.
Sorry I brought that up. I didn't mean to bring the house down. I'll cut all that part out. So, Trav, we just talked about Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
So hit me with that outro.
All right, let's get into some emails here. So the first one is from Will Gorsh, wants to know our favorite Disney character of the big three. We're talking Mickey, Donald, and Goofy. Favorite character.
If I have to choose, I will choose... Oh, it's really tough to choose between the three because it's kind of like the same.
Right.
I think I favor Mickey the least.
Correct. Because
it's like the easy, obvious, like, right. Mickey is Mickey. He's the mascot.
Him. Yeah.
I don't like that he's the mascot for some reason. He can't be my favorite. So that basically puts it between Donald and Goofy. Goofy is goofier.
Yes.
Donald is way more angry.
Yes.
So maybe depending on my mood, I would favor one over the other.
Sure.
But if you put a gun to my head, said... You're going to get your brains blown out unless you choose between Goofy and Donald. I will choose Donald.
And there is no wrong answer.
There is no wrong answer.
Fucking answer for your
you
head.
Fucking answer that.
Me no.
Donald, Donald, Donald. How about you?
I put the same thing. Donald, I think.
Perfect.
Donald's the funniest to me.
Yes.
I mean, Goofy's the funniest without trying.
Yes.
But Donald is the funniest. And there's a classic line in one of the most popular episodes of Friends. The one where no one's ready, where Chandler is like out of nowhere. He's trying to just spark conversation. He goes, you know what's weird? Donald Duck never wore pants. But every time he gets out of the shower, he always wraps a towel around his waist. What is that about?
What is that about?
It sparks conversation between Phoebe. There's nothing is said beyond that.
How would you not say something to that?
I think someone comes into the room then right after.
You know,
that,
the more you talk about this Friends show, Trav, I really think I should give it a try.
You should give it a try, man.
Get a full watch through 10 seasons.
Yeah. I mean, you truly...
30-minute episodes.
30-minute episodes. Well 21-minute episodes or something. But yeah, I mean, if you actually give that show a chance from the beginning to the end, there's no way. I have zero doubt you will love the show.
The only thing, honestly, that's holding me back from not doing it, watching every episode, is the laugh track.
Don't like the laugh track.
It just, TV has grown out of the laugh track.
True. Yeah.
It's not really around anymore. And when you go back to a show, even a show like Seinfeld that I absolutely adore, the laugh track can still be off-putting.
Yeah.
So I think
tell me when to laugh.
I think I need to, for my own posterity's sake, be able to say, yes, I have seen Friends from beginning to end.
Yeah. And those first seasons are truly, like, nostalgic, not only because I have seen them, but to put you back in 1994.
I suppose, right? Yeah, so, I suppose. That's fun. Good reasons to watch them. I'm going to do it.
And then you'll get all my random Friends references. The next email here is from Born in 04, wants to know if either of us ever had any father-son trips like the Goofy Movie. Just you and Tom.
Once again, hockey.
Lots of hockey trips.
When you play hockey in southern Minnesota, you are traveling. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So road trips in the sense of like traveling across the country to go do something crazy. No. But did Tom and I drive to Bemidji for hockey together? Yeah. Yes. Did Tom and I drive to Duluth for hockey together? Yes.
Yeah.
Did Tom and I drive to Red Wing? Yes. Did we drive to Winona? Yes. You name it. We drove to it in Minnesota.
And we went there.
We went there. So yes, lots and lots of road trips. I distinctly remember loving the fact of the fast food on the way home, because we would try, no matter how far away it was. Obviously, a Duluth, a Bemidji, you're not coming home that night.
Right.
But
right,
we would
right.
try really hard to come home the same night.
Yeah.
So it was always like, where are we getting fast food?
Yeah. Yep.
Pop open the glove box, set it up on the glove box. Obviously, not wearing a seatbelt. You know what I mean? Like,
for real.
Just doing all that stuff.
Zero safety concerns.
Laying down in the truck, because we'd always be in Tom's Jeep Comanche.
Oh, yeah.
Laying down, it was, you know, it wasn't a, it was just a single cab.
Yeah.
So I would lay down on the truck, no seatbelt, and Tom would drive all night and go to work the next day.
Yeah.
Thinking about these things, I'm like, you would go to work the next day, Tom. I don't know how you did that.
Seriously.
I don't know how you did
that,
dude.
Thank you.
So mad props to you, Tom. That's quite the commitment, and I'll never forget that. That is for sure.
That's
never
awesome.
Forget that. How about you, man?
I mean, no, of course, no long trips like the movie. My dad never took me on any crazy trips, but we did have a spot up north, like 2 hours past Brainerd.
Oh, wow. That's up there.
So it was way up there, but it was an awesome little private lake. So I had a lot of fun just him and I going up there. Like, he would bring my stepmom occasionally, but whenever it was just us, it was super fun. That's where I first started fishing and stuff with him. And I remember how proud he was of me the first, like, sunfish I caught, because I spent 3 hours on the deck trying to catch this same goddamn sunfish. When I caught it, it's like one of his favorite pictures of like
my pure
excitement in it. And then I still remember us taking the four-wheeler up there and him letting me drive, and he was behind me, and I'm, you know, going what I think is fast, and then he takes my thumb and just fucking pushes, and we're going, it feels like a cartoon, you know, my hair and cheeks are going crazy. That was just a super fun, like, oh my God.
That's awesome.
So yeah.
That's really cool.
I had a lot of fun father-son stuff. So yeah, that's it for emails, but I do have a question for Drew, and we are back in time as kids. It's the 90s. We are action figures. What accessories and features do your action figures come with?
So I went with like historically accurate.
Correct.
Not like...
Same.
Okay, great.
Not like what you would want.
Okay. Okay, good.
Like, you're a kid, and this is what comes with you.
Okay.
Your action figure.
So, my accessories would be Mountain Dew and Doritos.
For sure.
Okay?
For
sure. One hand would be Mountain Dew, other hand would be Doritos. I would have an alternate outfit of Zubas or wind pants.
Nice.
You know, like, because wind pants are pretty, the whole windsuit type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, I'd have my special feature would be a detachable rat tail. So, you know, like the haircut, you know, the rat tail haircut. I definitely had one of those as a kid. So it'd be detachable. So if you had to go to church, you could take it off.
Take
right?
off the rat tail.
Take off the rat tail.
That is amazing.
So that's mine. How about you, that's man?
So yeah, mine would be for sure the dino bike.
Okay.
I'd
yep.
come with the bike fully equipped.
Nice.
I'd have a dolphin fin because I was in the water all the time as a kid.
Great.
So we got the land version and we got the water version.
I like it.
Unlimited hats and jerseys. Unlimited hats and jerseys, because I was a jersey kid. Like 10 different basketball jerseys and football jerseys. A million, I think I'm cool wearing a backwards baseball caps. You know, it's bad. And then I come fully equipped with sweaty hands. You know, like the dolls that would like pee themselves.
Yes.
But yeah, mine's just sweaty hands.
Oh, you got sweaty hands. I have a detachable rat tail. And if you are listening out there in podcast land and you don't know what I mean by a rat tail haircut, do yourself a favor and Google it.
Yeah.
And keep this in mind. When I got rid of mine, it was 8 inches long.
Oh my God.
It was long, dude. And I had it with a bowl cut.
That is nuts.
So I had the bowl cut, but the rat tail.
That is nuts.
Yes.
Shout out to Jake from Triple Falls. If he winds up listening to Goofy Movie, I'm pretty sure he had a rat tail when we were growing up in grade school, but he did not have the bowl cut to match with
it. The bowl cut.
That is amazing.
The undershaved bowl cut, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I wish I had enough hair for bowl cut. I'd totally get a bowl cut.
Totally get a bowl cut. Well, that wraps it up today. Thanks for listening. You know, thanks for emailing. And if you want to email us, it's as easy as emailing us at podcast@overduehomework.com. Give us a homework assignment or a question or whatever you want to say. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Overdue Homework Podcast. And as always, make sure you tune in to the next exciting episode of the Overdue Homework Podcast.